What's up, everybody? It's Michael Scotto, Hoops Hype's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype podcast. Hope everyone had a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Right now, with NBA training camps beginning across the country, there's going to be a ton of eyes on the Houston Rockets and James Harden and Russell Westbrook. So what better time to have our next guest, Jonathan Fagan, the Houston Chronicles beat writer covering the Rockets, now going into his 22nd season. Join me to break down those trade rumors surrounding Harden and Westbrook, the addition of Christian Wood and free agency, and much more. Jonathan, I appreciate you hopping on the line with me. How are you and your family doing amid these crazy COVID times?
We're doing as well as you can do in 2020. You know, the expression that the players always use, it is what it is, which basically means I don't really want to answer your question. I have no problem answering it, but I think we all say that to each other now because everybody's kind of going through all the same stuff.
I couldn't agree.
So it is what it is.
I couldn't agree more, Jonathan. But for you going into this season, the Houston Rockets have certainly been very active. And you hear a lot of rumors about Harden and Westbrook. They add Christian Wood. But one of the first moves they made this offseason was trading Robert Covington. And when I first saw the move and in speaking with some executives, it looked a little bit like they were going towards a path of rebuilding and stocking future assets. But they've made moves since, which we'll get into. But when you were covering that Robert Covington trade, what were your initial thoughts on it when the news broke?
Well, it did look at first that that's what they were doing, was getting ready for the future, is to start rebuilding their supply of first-round picks, having traded two first-round picks and two more pick swaps to Oklahoma City in the Russell Westbrook deal. So it looked like, okay, time to start putting back together some draft picks. And they haven't had a pick in the first round since 2015. So it looked like, okay, time to start doing that. But the Rockets have a history of moves being done to set up the next move. And that was very much what this was. This was all about what would happen as the week would go on this year with the quick turnaround from draft to free agency to start of training camp. They traded Robert Covington to get those two first round picks because of what they wanted to do next.
And one of the other moves that they made was getting Christian Wood in free agency. And I think to a lot of executives and people around the league I had spoken to, it was a little bit of a shocker because Detroit had plenty of cap space to retain this young man who had a breakout season last year. And on a team that we know Detroit is in a rebuild mode right now, given their roster, for a team like that that's in a rebuild, it was a little shocking to me to see him essentially not be brought back. And obviously they know him, having him in the building, but for Christian Wood going to the Houston Rockets, what did you think of that move for Houston's chances to compete now and long term?
Well, that would be the next. I was saying that the Robert Covington deal was to set up what they would do next. That was for Christian Wood. And they did it because this gave them some tools they could use if they needed to do a sign and trade, which is how they ultimately did it. But it also moved them to position to offer him the larger mid-level exception, the one that would start at $9.3 million. That might not have been enough, but it's what they needed to sort of get in the door. Had no chance at him otherwise. And so they did that. Went after Christian Wood, eventually did it for a three-year, $41 million deal as part of a sign-and-trade. And it's a great move for them, not just because, as everybody has talked about, they didn't have a center. They opted to go centerless last year, and they don't want to do that anymore. But they needed a guy that would allow them to have the spacing and the advantages of small ball and still be a center. So they needed somebody who can pick and pop, who can knock down a three, and someone who can pick and roll finish. Basically, that adds up to a guy who can play well with Westbrook, pick and pop, give the spacing, keep the lane open for Westbrook to attack the rim, which is what he needs to do, and play well with Harden to be a pick and roll threat. Christian Wood last year, he's the top scorer as a pick and roll finisher in the league of anyone with two or more pick and roll touches per game. He's second, I believe, in efficiency inside the restricted area. So he's really a skillful guy at the rim, but 39% three-point shooter. And so it's the best player they can get at that position, which was absolutely necessary, but he's the best fit they can get at that position. And so that's why everything became about, they got to shore that up. They got to get this guy. And so from the Covington deal to the Pistons deal, and then to making it part of a sign and trade with the Pistons, it was all about Christian Wood.
What I'm curious about that move is if that's the type of thing that can maybe change the stances of guys like James Harden and Russell Westbrook as far as their outlook on the future for the Rockets. I think many people felt, the small ball, as you touched on, with Wood being more of a true big man as opposed to PJ Tucker, the way they were playing last year. That really small ball team, they gave it a shot, didn't go as far as they thought maybe it could. And obviously, you know, Russ had to deal with coming back during the bubble. Don't know fully if he was 100%, but I digress on that anyway. I mean,
that is key. That is a big factor, is what you bring up, is, and it's been overlooked. So it is important what you brought up, because he was sensational from the last few games of December through the hiatus till March 11th. He was absolutely sensational, and that's been overlooked a lot. He comes back from a case of COVID and then the thigh injury, and he wasn't very good in the playoffs. Well, you know, if the Rockets going to do anything, Russell Westbrook has to be better than not very good. He's got to be great. He's got to be Russell Westbrook. And he wasn't. Now, is that enough? They weren't even close to the Lakers in that series. So, yeah, they lost to the Lakers, the NBA champions, you know, great, best team in the league, but they weren't even close. And so do these things get them back to where they thought they could be? A lot of that has to be, does Russ get back to where he was in January, February, and March? And is that enough?
Excellent points, Jonathan. I mean, when I look at the Christian Wood acquisition, the only thing I wonder is, we've kind of seen Covington proven more over the years consistently what type of player he is. Christian Wood had an excellent season last year, really his breakout year. But this was the first year in his career he had done it over a full season. And you know, you touched on his ability to pick and pop, shooting 39%. I'm curious if that's going to continue going forward, or if it was a, you know, boom season in a contract year. Obviously, Houston's going to find out they felt good enough about it, guaranteeing him the 3-year, $41 million deal. You touched on Westbrook, and his health is certainly going to be important. Obviously, the mindset for him and Westbrook is going to be important going into this year. Their names have obviously been floated around in trade talks. Harden, in particularly, with the Nets. Russell Westbrook with a couple of teams, such as the Charlotte Hornets, among others. For you, as training camp is about to begin, what do you think the mood is within that organization with those two players? Because I think some people wondered if they were going to get moved during the offseason, and clearly that has not happened to this point.
Yeah, I think the organization's mood is extremely cautiously optimistic, but optimistic. The organization has felt all along they need to bring these guys back and let them work with Stephen Silas, let them work with a slightly changed rotation, and let them feel good about that. That things get that way a little more when you're apart. And, you know, when you're playing pickup ball with KD and he's so excited about what that team can do, and you remember those good times in Oklahoma City. And, you know, they went to the finals where Harden has not been since he left Oklahoma City. And now if you get them back together, do they feel good about it, you know, it remains to be seen, because as we were talking about before, I don't think the Lakers are like worried. Oh boy, you know, there come the Rockets. I don't think the Rockets are that. So even if things feel better, things feel good, how you're going to lose games, you're not going to win them all. How long are you going to feel good about the chances of winning a championship here compared to elsewhere? But they absolutely want to bring these guys back and let them get to Wood and give Steven Silas a chance to coach the team they hired him to coach. And it all will depend on how Harden feels about his future. At what point does he say, okay, you know, give it a shot, and then, yeah, this team's just not good enough, I want to move on. The idea, though, of I want to move on, but only to one particular team, well, you're under contract. If they're going to move you, they're going to need to move you to where they can do best for their future, not only for yours. He's not a free agent. And so it's sort of the way of the NBA. It just doesn't normally start with 2 years left on the contract instead of one. But the clock is ticking. We know which direction it's going to go.
No, I mean, you bring up an excellent point about the length of the contract. You certainly see players trying to control their future, and that's not the first time we've seen that. But you're talking about a guy who has a guaranteed 2 years, you know, including this year, guaranteed 2 years. Then he's got the player option for over $47 million the 2022-23 season. That's a significant amount of time on a contract for a guy that's in his prime right now and still playing at a high level. I just always felt that with the stuff, especially with the Nets, if you want to throw in maybe Kyrie Irving and get an all-star player back, then maybe that would tip the scales. But if you're looking at guys like Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, and Spencer Dinwiddie, etc., that's a lot of good players, but it's not at this point an all-star back in return for any of those guys yet. Some people would make the case Dinwiddie was close last year, but he's ultimately going to opt out of his option and become an unrestricted free agent anyway, so you'd have to deal with that.
You're not winning anything in the West with that. If you do that deal, you go from a team that people criticize and talk about to a team people really like on their way to the lottery. You're not making the playoffs with that team. And so the Rockets would have gone from a team that thinks of itself as a championship contender to a team that hopes to be a contender to make the playoffs. But they would be fun. They'd be exciting to watch. People would be like a league pass favorite. They just wouldn't be very good.
You don't, unfortunately, you don't get any banners in an arena for leading the league in league pass. But I think that's a good description. With that in mind, with the addition of Christian Wood, and currently keeping Harden and Westbrook, when you look at expectations for this team going into the new season, you talked about competing in the West and going up against juggernauts like the Lakers, the Clippers, obviously reloaded going into this year, and other teams did as well. You saw the Utah Jazz make some moves too, etc. Where do you think Houston falls in that pecking order right now going into camp?
Well, they're more unpredictable than virtually all of the playoff teams in the Western Conference. If we were to describe 10, 11 teams as playoff contenders, or certainly if you say the top eight, most likely, they're the most unpredictable of the group. But I think they'll fall somewhere in the middle. And remember, last year they were fourth in a tie with two other teams. So they were in the middle. In some ways, they should be better. They have the advantages of the small ball spacing without some of the disadvantages. And we haven't even gotten into the enormous 6'10", 270-pound X factor of Boogie Cousins. So they are so unpredictable. But the likelihood is they're in that mix to maybe not just sneak in the playoffs. They're better than that, but I don't know they're knocking in the door to the top one, two, or three spots either. So somewhere behind Lakers, Clippers, and maybe Nuggets, and in the mix with Mavericks, Trailblazers. Trailblazers might be ready to move up to that 1-2-3 area. Maybe not one, but move up a little bit. Jazz, they're in that group.
Well, Portland certainly had a great offseason, in my opinion, and part of that was getting Covington as part of that offseason coup for them. And they made several other moves around the edges, I think, to fortify that rotation and their depth. But, you know, you touched on where Houston could fall kind of in that middle range. For going into this season with Harden and Westbrook, could you see a scenario where they reevaluate things early in the season or before the trade deadline? Basically, what I'm saying is, what would it take for Houston, in your estimation, to really look at moving James Harden and Russell Westbrook if they were going to go in a different direction than they are currently right now?
Different answers for, you know, the two different guys. Harden, that would mean blow it up. That would mean start over in so many ways. You know, you're rebuilding if you move Harden. Westbrook, first they have to see how it goes and, you know, how things work. And then they have to see what they can get for him. I think there's a sense here, but really around the league, that they need to be patient on any consideration of moving Westbrook till he sort of rebuilds his stock to where teams start looking at him as superstar again, rather than what the last thing they saw. Last thing they saw was Westbrook in the bubble. And as we talked about, coming off the thigh injury, you know, much more quickly than he normally would have off that particular injury, and coming off COVID, teams need to see him look like the full Russ again before it makes sense. But if things aren't working, that's something that then you start looking at. If somehow he looks really good, but the team doesn't, it's a tough combination. But if that starts to happen, is that the way they take the next step, a really aggressive move? The one thing we do know, Rafael Stone is absolutely committed to being really aggressive. That he's talked about it. I've heard about it elsewhere that he wants to, and we've seen it already in some of the ways they've made pretty big moves. You know, trading Covington, who they wanted so much, that they spent so much to get. It was a pretty big move. He's going to be aggressive. He is not going to – he's going to go down swinging if he goes down. He waited 15 years with the Rockets to get this position. And he's a guy who will be aggressive throughout the roster. He always – first of all, he had a lot to do with the back end of the rotation. Daryl Morey left a lot of that to him in the past, and some of it worked out very well. Ben McLemore jumps out at you as a guy Rafael really wanted, and that panned out so well for him. I think he's going to be really aggressive in his first season and beyond.
Now, in a normal offseason, you and I probably would have seen each other at Summer League in Vegas. And what I would have asked you then was if we were at a casino and I told you you had to take your chips and you had to put them all in the center of the table, and the bet was, you know, is Harden going to be traded or not, and is Westbrook going to be traded or not? What are you putting all your chips on separately for both players? Are we going to, if you had to make that estimation as of now, and, you know, obviously, again, this is in context. I'm asking you this as of now before the season. If you were going to put your chips in the center of the table, is separately, is Harden getting traded? Is Westbrook getting traded at some point this season?
And I'm assuming in this scenario, it's mandatory that I make the bet for some reason. You know, the gun to my head said, you got to bet it. All your
Absolutely.
Other words, I can't just put the chips in my pocket and go home.
Absolutely.
Harden, I'd say no. You know, and what time frame? The rest of his life or just this year?
Just this year.
Assuming you mean just this year, Harden, I'd say no. You know, let's talk again next summer. But no, on Harden, you know, I put all the chips. Westbrook, my gosh, I don't know. I'd guess no, just because it's hard to get a deal they would find sufficient. And so not only do you have to, if you're betting on yes, they'll trade him, you're not only betting that yes, they'll want to, you're also betting on yes, they can. and get what they want. So I think those two things add up to more likely that he's not. But I wouldn't feel like with Harden, I feel like, yeah, bet that they won't trade him this year. I think that's a pretty good bet. Again, next offseason, we revisit it when we know. I mean, if they're the equivalent of a 48-win team, you know, an 82-game season equivalent of a 46 to 48-win team, you know, first or second round exit, then you start looking at it when he's going into his last season. Right now, nah, I'd bet against it. With Westbrook, I'd bet against it, but in a large part because I don't know if or when they can get what they would consider satisfactory.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up. What do they consider satisfactory for a guy like Russell Westbrook, who, despite, you know, like we talked about the bubble play, the guy's an all-star caliber player still, and he's still young enough where he's got a couple of prime years left. What do they consider satisfactory for a guy like that right now?
Well, I mean, you got to consider they gave up Chris Paul, who was not considered what he is now because he had so many injuries at the time that they traded him. But still, he's Chris Paul. Two first-round picks with almost no protection and two pick swaps. That's what they gave up to get Russell Westbrook. Well, you got to think they want something in that neighborhood, maybe not four picks or, you know, two picks and control of two others, but a pick or two of some value, you know, maybe not as lightly protected as what they gave up, but, you know, not a terrible end of first round pick, better than that, and a player who can just step right in and you know what you're getting. And that's what Chris Paul was then. He wasn't, you know, he hadn't been an all-star with the Rockets. He should have been one of those years, but he hadn't been an all-star here. They're going to want something substantial in terms of the player they get back. Plus, you know, we're talking a $40 million contract. You're taking back a lot of contracts to make that work, or a really big one. It can't be something that, oh, you made this deal and now you're handcuffed for years. It's just really tough to make those things work. When you're over the cap, as they are, and almost everybody is, it's just, how do you make that work to something you want to do? The guy's got to be good, really good, the guy they get back, and probably help restock the first-round pick.
It's kind of ironic. We talk about the health of Russell Westbrook and trying to avoid injuries, and obviously you guys dealt with that with Chris Paul when he was in the playoffs. I always felt if that guy was healthy fully, that one playoff run, I would have thought Houston could have made the finals. And that's always one of those, well, we're never going to know.
Yeah. If they beat the Warriors, I think they win the championship. In fact, I thought they were going to lose game six. You know, the one in Golden State, you know, they had the big lead in both games, but they had the big lead in game six, and I still didn't think they were going to hold them off. Game seven, at halftime of that game, I thought, oh my gosh, they're winning the NBA championship. And because Cleveland at that time, Cleveland's pick-and-roll defense was awful that year. And the Rockets' pick-and-roll game with Capella and Harden was tremendous. I really thought they finish off Game 7, they're going to win the championship. And, of course, no Chris Paul. They don't get it done. And things haven't been the same since. And it is ironic. You mentioned the injuries. You know, it always looked like Chris Paul, and I think the Rockets believe this, Chris Paul will age well because he doesn't rely on explosive quickness. You know, he's not a high flyer, so you don't jump, you don't have to land. You know, you can age better. Well, they traded him for a guy who does rely on explosive quickness, explosive athleticism, who is a bit of a flyer. And so how will Russell Westbrook age compared to Chris Paul? Sort of ironic, considering one of the reasons they moved Chris Paul is they thought he wasn't staying healthy.
Excellent point. And yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. Russell certainly relies on his physical ability more than Chris. Chris can think the game, is a better shooter. Totally different players, 100%. You know, you also talked about a couple more things I want to touch on. You touched on Houston having an opportunity, trying to give Harden and Westbrook an opportunity to play under Steven Silas. And you also touched on the addition of DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins has kind of been a little bit of a forgotten man for a while, given his injury history. And, you know, you look at a couple of years ago, this guy was in line for a Supermax extension with the Sacramento Kings. And once he was traded, it went downhill from there financially for him. And he's dealt with a ton of injuries since. But with DeMarcus Cousins coming into the fold for the Houston Rockets, what are real expectations for a guy like that right now in Houston's mind going into this season? What kind of a factor can he be in that lineup, whether it's starting or coming off the bench? What do they envision for him?
Well, I think they have to envision taking their time in that. Well, I mean, backing it up a little bit, what I've heard is he looked terrific in his physicals. That, you know, really looks like he did a great job in his rehabs. And so physically, he's good. He's good to go. He looks thin, like he's obviously been working hard because he looks terrific, you know. And so that feels good. But there's no way a guy who's played 30 games over 2 years can be in NBA game shape. You know, you can't do it. Even if all you did was, you know, train and didn't get hurt at all, you can't be. You know, the old line, you can only prepare to play NBA basketball by playing NBA basketball. And so they gotta give him all the time it takes. Don't put too much on him and build it up as the year goes on. That said, if he can get back to being who he has been and, you know, stays healthy, obviously, he's tremendous. He's a really big center with tremendous offensive skills. You wouldn't do all the switching that the Rockets traditionally do and that they plan to do with Christian Wood. But, you know, what a tremendous asset. And you can do it by bringing him off the bench in order to limit his workload. You don't want to put too much on him too soon. But if he gets all the way back to what he was, because he and Christian Wood can give you floor spacing, you can even play them together in certain matchups, in certain lineups, depending on who you're playing against. And you can go, so you can go from the team with a 6'5 starting center to have a pair of 6'10 guys on the floor at once, and one of which who weighs 270, 275. So it's one of those things that they can't answer now because he's played so little over the past 2 years. And the injuries, three major injuries. But as the year goes on, that's when we'll see what he can be, because the skills, you know, they'll be there 5 years after he retires.
You certainly touched on the different roster dynamic that they have and the different matchups they could have and rotations with these guys. And matching up better, certainly with a team like the Lakers, the Clippers as well, that have size, and obviously Utah, Rudy Gobert. You need a guy like DeMarcus Cousins who can go toe-to-toe with them around the restricted area and the paint. And I think certainly that helps. Christian Wood, as you touched on, stretch the floor a little bit more. That's your other way to counter that size as well if you're just going with him. But with that in mind, the architect of this, putting it all together on the floor, is going to be Steven Silas. This is a guy that obviously son of a coach, and a guy who has been a longtime assistant for a while, gets his first crack at being an NBA head coach at a time when, you know, there's not much rope for him to kind of learn on the fly here. He's got to get this team as competitive as possible in a vaunted Western Conference. When you look at the hiring of Steven Silas, what did you think of it for this particular Rockets team with all the dynamics that they have to deal with a Harden and Westbrook's morale and trying to win now, in a sense, in a loaded Western Conference?
Well, I always thought he'd be the guy they would hire. Absolutely. That's the one I predicted from the start. And I don't say this to pat myself on the back. I'm saying it because he's such a right fit for their needs and style and so on. They're really thrilled with him. And this is an organization that sort of needed the enthusiasm and exuberance of his personality, but also of two guys sort of in their first jobs as the GM and head coach, Raphael Stone and him. And Rafael's a very upbeat guy anyway. And, you know, that, and the organization knows him. He's been there 15 years, but very enthusiastic, high energy personality. And Steven Silas is just such a great personality. Players have liked being around Steven Silas. I don't think there's a great deal of learning curve. I guess there always is when you move over that one seat, but not a lot of guys spend 20 years as an assistant coach. He's been the one, or among those, you say, who's the next guy to move up. It's been true for at least 4 or 5 years now, that he's been prepared for this for a long time. His personality is what they kind of need to sort of make this whole organization. This organization's gone through a lot of stuff, not just losing playoff games, worse than that. And they need kind of his upbeat way. His relationship building is really good. It's been part of him for a long time in this league. They need a more balanced, going back to basketball, a more balanced attack. They need more options to yes, do the things you've done in a lot of matchups, in a lot of games, but also be able to do this against different teams. And he brings some of that. He was a really good hire, and you hear that all over the league, but partly because he's been so well known and so well liked for a long time. But he was just a really good fit for this team, this organization.
Well, we're certainly going to see if he can stir the pot. I'm curious to see if he can kind of get this team over the hump that they've been trying to get to for a while. But another guy,
they got to get back to the hump now. That's going to be the next challenge, because the West is brutal. My gosh, it's tough. I mean, almost every team, maybe not the top two or three, but everybody, Rockets included, their goals can't be championship. It's got to be make the playoffs and then think about the next step. That's how good the West has got.
There's certainly a dose of perspective there. And, you know, the guy that you look at on this team, that you talk about guys that are a good fit and you know, their type of attitude and how it could help the team. PJ Tucker has been a guy that's one of the most versatile players in the league, especially defensively. You know, he's touched on obviously wanting a contract extension, and he's enjoyed his time in Houston and whatnot. I was curious what you see for his future with those type of contract talks and his role this season, which likely could be different with the additions of Wood and Cousins.
Well, it'll be different, but he goes back to power forward, where that probably is a better move. I always thought, yeah, he matched up against big men even when he was power forward, even when they had a center. But it's better to have him as a defensive weapon than just, you know what, even at 6'5", he can hold his own. Well, no, that's good. Holding his own is good. But how about make him something that's an advantage? And by you being able to use him how you want to rather than how you have to. And, you know, he pointed out he's matched up with Anthony Davis for years, not just when the Rockets traded their center away. He's always matched up with Anthony Davis. Yeah, well, he's also always matched up with LeBron James. You only have one PJ Tucker on the floor. Now you got to pick. Now that they got an actual center, PJ, I think, can benefit by putting him where you want him rather than where you have no choice. As far as how that impacts the contract and the future, you know, he's going to be 35. He is 35. You know, I don't know how much of an extension you give to the 35-year-old guy, but I got to think they want him around longer. My prediction on that one would be he probably becomes a free agent and the Rockets are the team that wants him most. That they go, he means a lot to them, you know, in a lot of ways, for his versatility, for shooting corner threes that is so valuable to space the floor from a four. There's just so many reasons, plus in the locker room, his professionalism, all of it. And it's just that they know him best, although the teams he's previously been on and always swore by him as well. I think it works out, but I don't think it's going to be a mid-season extension situation. The other part of that is, Rafael it kind of comes from that school of you do things on the deadline. You never know how things play out. So in other words, like even little things, like if you were to pick up the option on a rookie contract and everybody knows you're going to do it, well, do it when you have to do it. You don't do it 2 weeks early because why? What advantage is there? Well, if he would do that on a no-brainer thing, I think he's going to have that mentality on extensions as well. So I don't think it'll happen during the year, but I think when he becomes a free agent, the Rockets will be the team that especially values him.
Appreciate that perspective. And, you know, you talked about guys that swear by him. If you ever talk to Jared Dudley, he will praise him as a guy that's an all-defensive player for sure from even their time together on the Suns. He's definitely got a lot of strong advocates throughout the league for his defensive ability. You know, Jonathan, first of all, I want to thank you again for coming on. We certainly touched on a lot of different topics from the Harden and Westbrook trade talks, the addition of Christian Wood, Cousins, PJ Tucker, the Covington trade, etc. For those of you listening, you can check out Jonathan's work at the Houston Chronicle on HoustonChronicle.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jonathan_Fagan. That's F-E-I-G-E-N. Jonathan, once again, man, I appreciate you coming on, brother.
Well, I enjoyed it. It sounds like, you know, the Rockets are absolutely contending for their annual championship of NBA's most interesting team. They never let us down with that, do they?
No, they don't. But at least for you as their longtime beat writer, it certainly gives you plenty to write about and cover. And I certainly look forward to seeing your work during the season.
Well, I enjoyed it. Good talking with you.
Thank you, brother. And thanks as well to everybody for tuning in. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoopside Podcast with players, coaches, and fellow media personalities such as Jonathan, make sure you like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. You can keep up with my tweets on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.